Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Lucy Dumas, who specializes in coaching photographers on how to make their businesses more successful. Lucy, how are you?
I'm so good.
Awesome. And
excited to talk to you again.
I'm good too. And I'm glad you're pumped because so am I. And just so our listeners know, Lucy is one of our returning guests because she did such an amazing job. Just for your reference, she was on episodes 177 and 178. So make sure you go back and check those out. And today, Lucy has even more fantastic tips about how to make your business better than ever. And are you ready to do this, Lucy?
I was born ready.
So, Lucy, you know, I've chatted with you quite a bit on the phone and for this podcast. And I know it's inevitable one of these days we're going to get together in person. And I know so much about you, but I don't want to assume that those listening know about you. So could you just give us a brief overview of your background and why you decided to coach photographers?
Oh, that's such a good question, that second part. I have been a full-time photographer for 37 years. In fact, February was my anniversary. Mm-hmm. I started with weddings, and I did weddings for a little over 10 years. I believe in specializing, though. So even though I love other kinds of photography, I picked weddings, and I grew that to be, I was like the top of the food chain here in San Diego, you know, one of the top photographers. Then I decided children's photography was really what was my next phase, reinventing my career. And at that time, children's photography was not popular. So I had this wide open field, and actually was more profitable with children because there's not as much cap and you get a lot more income per session when you take the time involved. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because a wedding is very time consuming.
Yes.
I earned my Master Craftsman degree from the Professional Photographers of America, which I'm super proud of. And
awesome.
Then about 5 years ago, I began to feel like, well, all my career I have mentored people. If I learn something, I want to share it. That is just who I am. And I felt like it was time for me to be helping others. And my coach asked me a few questions. And when I started talking about coaching, I like little tears were coming down my eyes. And my coach is very tuned in. And she said, Lucy, you're supposed to do this. You will not be happy if you don't. And you have so much to share. And what's happened is it's become my passion. I'm a kind of an empath. I feel what other people feel sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when someone else has a win, I get to feel like it was my win. So I don't just do this to help others. I do it because it's really gratifying.
That's awesome. And just listening to you, I can hear the passion in your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, it just, one of my coaching clients started out as a shoot and burn about 2.5-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I helped her see that pet photography, which she'd be awesome at it. And she built a business that last year she brought in $240,000.
Oh my goodness.
In her third year in business. And this year she's on track for, I would guess, 300. And yes, she's worked really hard.
Right. There is that work part. It's not get rich quick.
Not to brag, but I asked her, how did you do this? And her name's Erin Bonilla, if you want to check her out.
Okay.
And she said, I just did what you told me, Lucy. So.
Wow.
Anyway. So that's the fun of it for me, is to watch other people bring their gifts to the world and develop that income that they're wanting and needing.
You know, it's I'm sitting here listening, and if I had hired a photography coach to help me when I started about over a decade ago, it would have made my life so much easier. And so many of us, we get started and we kind of stumble around, and it's so easy to make mistakes with your photography business, even by just ignoring the business part. Or pricing yourself based on the photographer down the street so you can be competitive. Never mind if they're making a profit themselves. You know, it's just so many things we tend to, not everyone, but many of us, and I'm one of those where we instinctually start making mistakes until we realize that we need to be coached or we need to study. And that's how it was for me. I stumbled around for years before I tend to learn the hard way. And then starting this podcast too and having an excuse to talk to awesome people like yourself really helped me bring my business up to the next level. And so that's why I'm so excited to have you on
Thank you.
for today.
When you mention about basing pricing on what others are doing, one of the principles that I didn't come up with this phrase, but it just so makes sense, is that we should not compare our insides to other people's outsides. So somebody may look highly successful, and they may even tell you they're highly successful, which, there are a few people in my business that I know personally who they look good on the outside, but they are not bringing in nearly the money, or they're not running their business the way that you imagine. And yeah, so, and it's really common in life in general. I had some friends who had a very successful business and sincerely, and I wouldn't say I was jealous, like where I wasn't excited for them, but I would look at their life and think, oh, they've got it the way I wish I did. And then I've recently learned that included in all that success, they have internal struggles that I won't share, but that I'm less envious and more compassionate towards the parts of their life that, that are hard for them. So we're all on our own journey, and that's what's actually what I love it being self-employed is that I'm on a journey that just continues to unfold kind of like a, okay, kaleidoscope. Is that it? Yeah, a kaleidoscope where it just changes like every day it's something new, and I love that.
You know, and you're right. It is an individual journey for everybody. And what's cool is that the principles that are taught for running a successful business. Now, not everyone has the same advice, but it's about finding the advice that's right for you. And I'm sure our listeners will be able to glean some gold nuggets from what we're going to talk about today. And then
Yes,
they
I
can
hope
apply
so.
that to their own individual business.
Yeah.
So, Lucy, you know, we've already touched a bit on some common mistakes that photographers make. And I think one of them is also it's related to pricing as far as making an effort to sell prints and wall portraits or really analyzing their selling process. And I know that making sales is often scary for photographers. The
Yes.
dirty S word, something
Yeah,
about
I know.
selling just kind of makes us a little bit queasy. And so let's dive into the first topic, the first of five that we're going to talk about to help our listeners turn their photography passion into an amazing career. So let's touch on selling. Could you please enlighten us on how in the world we can sell more, and especially wall portraits and albums, and not just digital files?
It's one of my favorite topics, and actually, selling is my superpower. Fortunately, my mother was a natural salesperson, and I don't know if I told you the story of the first time I remember creating some art and selling
Oh, tell it again.
it. So I was about 7. I walked around the block. I was not allowed to cross the street, but I could walk all the way around the block, picking flowers. I did not know that people planted flowers. I thought it was all, God made flowers. So I picked the flowers, I made little bouquets, tied them in little ribbons, and walked back around the block and sold it to, knocked on doors and sold little
That's
bouquets to people
adorable.
of their own flowers. And what I realized is, oh, I was creating art, because one of the things I love to help people do is turn their creativity into cash. So I was doing something creative. And then I confidently was walking around the block and selling it to them. And I got a pocket full of dimes and nickels and quarters. And at seven, that's pretty cool.
That's exciting.
Now, when I'm teaching my sales strategy system, SSS, so the core is to become a trusted advisor. Becoming a trusted advisor, how negative is that? You know, it's not selling.
Right.
Selling is a part of it, but it's building a relationship where they know you, they trust you, they like you, and they surrender to your leadership. I used to sell travel insurance in the airport, and I would say to the people that worked for me, it was my little business, it's like a bubble, and we want to get them in our bubble, and then we can share the benefits, the values, get them excited. And for me, when people think about it like that, it doesn't have the same negative connotation. And it's a step-by-step process. So the first step is to identify your ideal clients and figure out how you can attract them and get connection. And the next is what you say on the telephone, how you get them a little bit excited, how you start and build your relationship, and when to talk about money and how, and then to get them in for a consultation so they can see the art, they can see the books, they can meet you, you can develop more rapport. Then, how you photograph and things you say during the session impact the final sale. For example, if I want to sell 8-wall portraits, which I do routinely to my clients, I need to have a lot of images that have variety and are storytelling. Otherwise, it just looks like a house full of the same photograph.
That's right.
There's a strategy in that. And then there's a system, a step-by-step system that uses a projector and a movie screen. And you set a tone and you create a wonderful experience that is like going to the movies, but it's the story of their life.
Wow.
And then how to be organized and edit down, all that stuff. And you can't just like get a booking, you know, through texting or email, do the session, and then expect them to, first of all, to trust you.
Exactly.
And then to purchase what's right.
So I can't help but ask, when do we start talking pricing with them? Because a lot of them will come to us and say right off the bat, what do you charge for a family session? Or what do you
Right.
charge for XYZ? Do we
Right.
defer that till later or?
Yes. Yes. I always answer a question with a question.
Okay.
It may be, tell me a little about what you have in mind. Who do you want to have photograph? And I have a series of questions I use, like, you know, what does your family do for fun? What are the colors in your home? And then I start asking deeper questions. The deeper questions are emotional. Tell me about your children. How did you feel when you knew you were going to have your first child? When they're playing nicely together, what are they doing? When daddy's coming, does daddy work outside the home? When he's coming home and the kids know he's coming up the walkway, describe the scene to me. So what I'm doing is I'm helping them fall in love with their family a little bit more, or their child, or their spouse. Or if it's a single of themselves. And so now they're not so much thinking about Oh, how much is a print? They're connected. They like me because I've asked questions about them. And we always like people who show an interest in this. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
That's why people love you, Shamira, because you're so awesome at asking great questions. We feel so special.
Well, some call it nosy, but what can I
Exactly.
say?
But yes, but we like that as humans. And then they're a little bit more in love and they're feeling these wonderful feelings. And then I share with them, you might wonder why I'm asking you all these questions. And it's because everything I do is custom designed to celebrate your family and tell the story of your life right now. And so the more I know about the relationships, about your home, the more this can be a really special piece of art or arts, plural. Sorry, art, arts. Special pieces of art. I always speak plural in your home. So now at this point, most people are thinking, oh, I want to work with her. I hope I can afford her. You get how now, they're trusting me, they're liking me a little bit. So then, one of my mentors for decades has been Charles Lewis. And I had a little cassette of his program, and I kept the telephone one in my car, in my little blue Volkswagen, and probably listened to that every time I drove for about a year.
Wow.
Which, I mean, really, because he was going around the country teaching people about the importance of selling wall portraits and why he, back in the, I don't know if it was late 80s, early 90s, helped break the paradigm that people just want 8x10s. So the money talk, the money sentence that he taught me is, so I would say, how does this sound? People would be like, oh, it sounds great, or how much is it? So I want to just give you a little idea. You asked about pricing. And then this is if people want to stop their car and write this down, I recommend it. Most people invest a minimum of X to X. So the X might be 600 to 700. That might include something nice for your home and a few smaller ones to share with family members. Does this fit within your budget? And that's all I say about the money. The X to X price is I figure out my price of an 11 by 14 and 2 8x10s or 2 5x7s and the session fee, and then give that range. So it's low enough that, like, it doesn't scare you off by saying most people are going to invest thousands, but it will scare off people that are looking just for the budget.
Yeah, you definitely want to scare away the budget hunters, the
But
ones
I
who
don't
don't.
want to scare away high prospects. And so if it's too high, or if you give the range, a lot of people make what I think is an error and say most people invest between this and this. And so that can either put a ceiling on your total sales, or it can scare off highly qualified people when they hear that high end.
So could you give us that script one more time? Say that sentence.
Sure. And it's important to use the word invest and might. Those are keywords. Most people invest a minimum, that's the other important word, minimum of, we'll just say 600 to 700, period. That might include something nice for your home and a few smaller ones to share with family or take to the office, period. Does that fit within your budget?
That's awesome.
Or I might say, does that work for you?
That is so much better than the stuttering, and stumbling
Yeah.
that so many of us do.
And then the follow-up when people are like, well, can you tell me more? You know, how much are this? How much is that? Then I say, well, our next step is to schedule a time to get together. There's no obligation. I'll show you my work. We'll talk more about what you have in mind. We can at that point go over specific prices and what else, what you might expect to invest. How does that sound? Do you want to go ahead and get your calendar out and set up a time to meet?
This is so cool.
Thank you. Well, I've made a great living for 37 years, and that sentence right there is responsible for a good part it.
Our
And the
listeners better be taking notes. This is good.
somehow,
And we're still on the first point.
I
We need to
know.
move to number two.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. In order to effectively talk pricing and understand the value of your business, I believe that we all need to have confidence. And this may sound like a woo-woo. I don't know, you hear the word confidence and be confident, but it's true. And it's something that so many photographers struggle with. And so, really, that brings us to our second point about developing confidence. Those of us who may struggle with it, what can we do to begin to overcome that? And I understand it's a process and it takes time. And I've talked to photographers, by the way, who've been taking photos and making photos for decades, and a lot of them still struggle with
Oh
confidence. So
yes.
it's not like an overnight thing, but how do we tackle that?
Yes. So one of the key things is to sell our work in person. The reason for that is we're not selling them our photography. We're selling them their family. We're selling their loved ones. So even if we're not as good as somebody that we admire, they are going to love the images because it's of people they love. I know there are photographs in people's homes that I was delighted to make for them and that they loved, that I would look at it now and go, yeesh. I wish it was a do-over, but that kid's in college now, so we'll never get a baby picture again. And the yeesh was for me mostly on, I get better, I think, every 6 months, I've
Yeah,
noticed.
join the club. I know what you
And
meant.
the better has to do with, first of all, lighting and composition. I've always been really good at getting natural expression. And so I know that that is the part that my clients over the years, back when, I was still growing, but they could feel their child. They could see that authenticity in their eyes.
Yes.
So when we do, I don't know if this is a negative term, shoot and burn, but when we photograph and we hand over the files, we get no feedback. And
It's
so
true. Yeah, and
you
it's
don't know what you're
frustrating.
doing wrong. Yeah. And so, I've on some Facebook groups, I've had people, you could feel the pain. I sent my images over and it's been 3 weeks and I haven't heard anything. Do they hate them? Do they love them? It's like, oh, I need to sit with them because, money comes and goes. But hearing what they love and sharing that with them, that's the reason I do this photographically. So, and also you develop confidence because you see what they'll buy. And whereas if we're doing, we'll say shoot and share, then you don't know if you're doing a good job because they get it all regardless. Like they
Right,
might
that's so
say,
true.
oh,
That's,
we like them, but you don't know which ones they love. And they're not seeing them large, put to music. So they're not loving them as much as they will when they sit down with them.
I want to make sure and point out that you are pointing out something that is very important. And, it's so true. When you do the whole shoot and then you share them all digitally, you're right. It's kind of like you send them a link or let them know where their files are, and then it's just silence. and you don't know which ones they like the best or which ones they didn't like. Whereas when you're selling to them in person, you can see their reactions and how your work affects them. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that's why we became photographers, to experience that. And there's nothing more discouraging than sending a family a link to their gallery and getting nothing back, or they just take forever to look at it. And I only say that because I've been there. So, but selling the first time I made a large sale in person. Granted, I was nervous. Now, I'm an
Of
introvert as it
course.
is. And like, I literally felt nauseous because we were talking thousands of dollars.
Yes, that's common.
But they were the most satisfied customers that I had ever had, to the point where they were in tears when we delivered their metal prints. And like, it was huge. And I thought they would have cried over handing over a check for thousands of dollars. But no, they were happy to do that. And then the tears were tears of joy when the work came. So it was very eye-opening. So you're right.
Oh, that makes me happy.
It gives you confidence.
Yes. So that's how it grows. The other part is, and this is a realization I had just fairly recently. If we're selling shoes, or we're selling a car, or we're selling, I don't know, clothing, it's not our art. It's not coming from our soul, you know. It's a thing. But it is scary to say, here's what I've created. Do you like it? And
It
so I think
is.
that fear of rejection of our art, of our creation, is part of where the lack of confidence comes, or even the fear of doing that sale with them. Because the fear they won't love it is like, I'm not going to be able to handle it if they say no. I'm going to be devastated and I'm going to take it personally. So to me, learning not to take it personally,
Which is
learning,
easier said than done. It's a
yes,
process. It
it's a
takes time.
process, but being able to self-coach, or have, get support from friends or a coach or your minister, I don't know, wherever you can keep growing in that understanding that when they say they don't want something we've created, it's not a reflection on us. It's a reflection on what resonates to them, what their budget is, their preference in terms of how they display portraits. They may not like a book, so they don't buy a book. That doesn't mean they didn't like all those pictures that would have gone in the book. It's just not what they want. One little piece on that, though. When I go into this trusted advisor position, I do not listen to what they think they want.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, tell us more.
I'm the professional. I know what I'm creating, I know the value of it. I know how they're going to feel every day if they purchase the portraits that in the sales room gave them the strong reactions. And so I know my job is to sell that to them. Most people do not have any idea how they're going to feel or what they're going to want initially. I do have people say, yes, we think it'd be great to have something nice over the fireplace. We want a beautiful family portrait. Or they might say, some other, we won't go completely down this bunny trail, but they might say, oh, we're not big picture people. So I think when I'm done with them, they will be. And then I proceed to, I've got questions handling those objections. Have you ever had a portrait created that was designed to be art in your home and it really captured the essence of a relationship and composed like fine art? Have you ever had images like that? That would be one of the how to handle that objection. And almost all the time they'd say, no, not really. So now I've planted those seeds, right? That's a big part of in those steps towards the sale. You're planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds all the way along, watering the seeds, fertilizing the seeds. that grow into wall portraits. Probably none of my clients think that they would end up with 8 to 10 wall portraits and spend, $8,000 to $10,000. If I said, "Hey, do you want that? This is what I do, and this is what you're going to have. How about it?" They'd be like, "No."
And I want to point out, it sounds like you are prepared for their objections. Like, do you actually write? Do you have a list of objections?
No.
Possible objections? Okay.
No.
Because that's something that I would, for me, at least in the beginning, as I get used to things and try to take the fear out of things, I would probably have like a list of objections.
So I have a lot of lists in my head. And when I'm working with people, like right now, I have a group coaching that is specifically on sales, and we're at the this month is handling objections. So there are concrete answers. If you ask me an objection, I've probably got four ways that I handle it. And so they're in my head, but a lot of people have them written down in their notes here and there.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. The core with handling objections first starts with clarifying and asking some questions so that,
Okay.
like with digital, that's to me right now, that's the hot topic with objections is, do you sell the digitals? So I could go into this long, I don't because I believe that people need the fine art, which is true, the finished prints, and their grandchildren can inherit them. And your digital files, there's like a 2 month life cycle with those, and they kind of melt away like snow. And I could go into all that, right? But if I say, "Why do you ask?" then they might say, "Well, we wanted to save money." So
Right.
they don't care if it melts away like snow or their grandchildren can inherit it. They're thinking of the dollars. So my answer to that is, if I sell digitals, they're not the most economical option.
Okay.
Now, if they say we want our friends and family to see them, then for me, because I don't sell digital files, but my response to that is anything that you purchase, I would be happy to post on my Facebook with just a little watermark, little logo in the
Oh,
corner,
that's a great idea.
and I'll tag you, and then your friends and family can see them. And almost everybody is satisfied with that. If they want digital because they don't want to spend, $20,000 or $1,000 or however many thousand, then that's a great opportunity for us to not work together.
Right. It is an opportunity. You're
Yeah.
right.
And this comes under that also, as you develop confidence, you get more comfortable with hearing the word no. When that confidence that you know the value of what you're producing and you know how much your clients love it, and also that you know how much money you need to make from each client to continue to do this and not have to go get another job
Oh,
or to
that's a
be able to
biggie.
build something so you can quit that job that you would really like to quit. When you're clear on that, then the no means you're not wasting your time or their time because you're
Exactly.
not a fit. And so it makes space, for the right people. It's like dating. And if let's say somebody says, "No, you're not the gal for me. I'm just not that into you." Fine. That means I've got time in my life to find the person who will totally rock my world.
Exactly. A no can be a good thing. It absolutely can.
It's a great thing in business.
And it doesn't make sense that your business would fit for everybody anyway. That's not what you're trying to do.
No.
Okay, so let's move to the third point then, or our third topic of discussion. And so we've talked about we've touched on selling in person, we've touched on confidence. Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is how darn crowded our industry is.
Yeah.
And, I say that with love, but it is, You know, it's true. It's like there's a photographer lurking around every corner. So how do we find our own individual voice? How do we make our work and the personality of our business stand out?
That's a really good question. First of all, the fact that, like, I've had people say, well, in my community, you know, I'm in a town of 100,000 people, and there are no people who sell printed work. Everyone is selling digital photography. Mm. Well, I see that as a great thing, because there are people in that town of 100,000 that want full service, that would love it, that don't mm-hmm. want to print their own, which, by the way, most people who have a digital file don't print anything.
They don't. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So that's a huge way to stand out in a crowd is, I'm your full service photographer. And, mm-hmm. But also, one of the things I love is to take people through a journey to discover their identity and who they are. Like branding, people think, oh, I'm going to get a logo. I wonder what my clients would like. That's not branding. Branding is discovering who you are and what the client is going to experience in working with you, and then coming up with words, logos, colors, you know, handouts, how you speak, what your elevator pitch is that communicates that unique identity.
Yes.
And the fun way that I love to do this, that if you listeners want to have a good time with this, part one is to go into your childhood, do a little visualization, which I do with my clients, you know, play a little music and such, and think about things like pretend you're watching yourself as a child, what your favorite toys are, what you do for fun, colors you like, what you're wearing, who your friends are, what your favorite smell and touch and taste is, and just really like meet yourself before layers of life kind of separated us mm-hmm. from ourselves. Do you know what I mean by that, Shamira?
I do. Yeah. I do. You can describe it if you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this little journey, you know, just like kind of discovering your essence. And then the second part is that you do what I call an identity map, where you get a bunch of magazines, not just photography magazines. and this is not a dream board.
Oh, a vision board.
Yes, it's not a vision board. It's an identity map. And you clip out things that you just like the way it looks. Even if it might be a frog. Like, I don't really want a frog. There might be something in the color and the texture that draws me. And also fonts, words, logos, things like that. And you don't worry about what the word says. The word could say pickles. But if it looks good. And so through that, then you step back, you glue it on a board, you know, clip them out, and look at the design, the texture, the colors that you are gravitated to, the kind of word art, because that's what fonts and logos are, is word art, mm-hmm. that resonate with you. And every single person that I've done this with has a really distinct and strong color palette.
Interesting.
It is. It's amazing. The last one that I did, I feel like I'm... I just love talking to you.
Yeah, this is really amazing. These tips are just...
Thank you.
Awesome.
The colors that it was so obvious were this dark kind of a lilac-y purple, silver, a tan, and I think an aqua.
Huh.
And she didn't plan it, but it was right there. And then within it, there were little flowers, you know, there were textures. And then the fonts had a continuity to it. And so now we're working on upgrading her website, adding those colors, colors to brochures, a new logo, just updating her logo. So she's been in business a long time, but we're just freshening everything up. Then the third part is to, and I know it can be a little uncomfortable, so just write this and say, my mentor has given me assignment. So if you're listening to this, right this minute, I'm your mentor giving you an assignment. Okay. You ready, Shamira?
I love it. Yep.
Post on your personal Facebook. My mentor has asked me to ask my friends, and maybe you can word it better than this, but my mentor has given me the assignment of asking you to describe me in three words.
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
And it's so amazing to see what comes up. And so now you've got this visual. You've kind of gone back to the essence of who you were from the moment you were born, and then some feedback, and then you've got a base for your branding. And so then when you
This is cool.
take that, sorry.
No, I just said this is cool.
That's one of my favorite parts. I made it up at, I don't know if anyone's heard of Ken Whitmire. He used to teach the Wall Portrait Conference for 40 years, and I was an attendee, and I kept doing like branding conversations with people because I love it. And then at like 2 in the morning, I thought up this whole thing and said, and Ken always had little blocks where people could teach things in small groups. And by that time, Ken knew that I'd been around and knew some stuff. So, and I was like, Ken, I have a really fun idea for a little, you know, the little small breakout groups. Can I do it? And he said, sure. And it was really powerful. It surprised the heck out of me. So, you know, I had people saying that, like, changed their life. They cried. They changed
Wow.
their brands. It was their favorite part of the week. So then he asked me back year after year for several years until, unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but he's in our hearts forever. Anyhow, so that's how to stand out in a crowd. Know who you are, know what you offer, offer different things, and become that trusted advisor. So,
Yes.
you know, it's all connected.
And I highly encourage our listeners to try out this exercise because it does sound fun. And it's something that we often don't do when we first start our business. So even if you're listening and you've been in business for years, you absolutely need to try this. It makes it so personal to each of us. And this is kind of a great segue into point number four about business as a personal journey. You know, we have to take the time to do these things in order to help us understand what makes our business different from the zillion other photographers out there. And especially because we are artists as well as business people, then I believe we need to be in touch with our personal journey. So do you have some tips for us just how do I word this? I guess, how is business a personal growth journey? How can we personally grow within our businesses?
That's another really good question. Thank you, Shmira. The thing is, we can't help but grow. Celebrating the journey of deciding to be an entrepreneur and put yourself out there and risk all of that, you know, the rejection and money questions and having to grow in order to succeed and reach our dreams. We have to grow, and not just in knowledge. We have to grow in trust. What happens is whatever in us might need healing is going to show up. Whatever in us is our seeds of greatness is going to grow. It can't not. I think a lot of people don't reach their dreams because they hit those points. Like for me, I grew up in a family that was very fearful. or at least this is what I took in.
Okay.
My sister might not agree with it, but my experience of our family was fear of being broke. And especially as a wedding photographer, it's very cyclical. You don't get many weddings in January or February, and they start trickling in March. And so every year in January, my calendar would be empty. Or, maybe I'd have one. And I'd think, this is it. This is the year I'm going to be a bag lady. I'm going to have to go get another job every year. I
Yeah, we've
know.
been there. I know how it feels.
And this still comes up for me, but I have better tools to like talk to myself, comfort myself. And then what would happen is the bridal bazaar and people who got engaged over Christmas, the phone would start ringing, my calendar would get full, I'd get a ton of money in the bank account. I'd be like, oh, I'm working too much. I'd raise my prices because it's a little tip. Ding. The way to get where you want to money-wise is to raise your prices regularly. When you're as busy as you want to be, raise your prices about 15 to 20%. Some people will drop out, others will pay it. You'll make the same money. Okay, that's a little like asterisk.
I like it.
And then I went to a seminar that was probably personal growth oriented. And I was sharing in a little breakout group about that fear, or maybe it was a meditation. Anyway, I realized, here I think the worst that could happen is being a bag lady. But the truth is about me, and this is part of my growth that I know who I am now, even if that happened, I would handle it. I would get a great shopping cart. I would find a warm place to sleep. I would find or build a community of others, and I would find my way out. So I don't live in that fear anymore. And if it comes up, I know how to talk to myself about it. So that's, I just opened myself up and told you the whole world, Lucy's fear
Well,
journey.
I appreciate that transparency though, because, a lot of photographers, it can be kind of uncomfortable trying to go there with
Yeah.
themselves. Or we think we have to look like we have it all together
Right.
when we don't.
Sometimes people will think that about me, and then when they, see my office or I do or say something that well, no one's ever perfect, and I'll make a mistake and they're like, "Oh, huh. Wow, I thought she was perfect." And
You're human.
I never want anybody to think I'm perfect. Does that make sense how this is a personal growth journey?
It does. It does.
I think it's sacred. I think it's, yeah, I guess that's the only word I can think of right now. It's a very important experience, and I want to just applaud everybody that's on this journey because it's not an easy one. But I could not sit in an office and be at someone else's mercy, from 9 to 5, and I could not live that way. Just doesn't it I like I hated school. Well, I liked school because I love to learn, but having to be there at a certain time and I can't leave until a certain time, I watched every click of every minute of the clock all the way through
Oh, goodness.
until college, because in college you could set your own schedule. So I've built a career that made that flexibility.
I believe that the more we are in touch with our own personal growth journey with our businesses, the more sustainable our businesses will be in the long term.
Yes.
Because it reduces the chance of burnout. Well, burnout happens to everybody. Maybe that's inevitable. But when you're running a business that's in line with your values, then you want to run
Yeah.
it. So that makes a big difference, a
Yeah.
very big difference.
And you're energized and you're excited
Yes.
and good stuff happens.
So our final point, this is point number five. It's also a biggie, but I want to make sure our listeners understand it. Can you tell us about how we can use the power of attraction, or whatever you want to call it, within our businesses?
Sure. So there's a couple of levels of this, and maybe you've picked up I can be a little on the woo-woo side. But also very practical.
Fine.
I'm a blended right brain, left brain. So on the woo-woo side, one of my marketing tools is to visualize, and usually I'll sit on my front porch and close my eyes and, you know, kind of go into a nice little lovely state and imagine that I'm a magnet for everyone that is looking for what I offer. So I'll picture that this world is full of people that are just looking for me, that want, or maybe not me particularly, but, you know, what I bring, what I offer. And so I like raise my vibration through breathing and visualizing. And then I picture that my energy gets bigger and bigger and bigger and becomes like a wave that fills my community, my city, my state, my country, all the way around the globe. And then this great big wave is like gathering these people, and then it comes back around and they're magnetized to me. I know that sounds weird.
It's interesting. Okay.
But one time I did that, because and for me, this is sometimes when I get in that fear that I'm going to be a bag lady. I go, uh-oh, okay, time to be a magnet. And one time I did that, and I kid you not, I walked in the house, the phone rang. And my ideal client was calling because another photographer who really in San Diego at the time, we were the closest to each other in how we ran our businesses and how we photographed. Mm-hmm. She had moved away, and she and her friend were looking for someone to do portraits of their children. And they looked in the Yellow Pages and they thought I was the person that someone had recommended. It turns out I wasn't.
Interesting.
But I got both clients. So
very nice.
This stuff works. All right. So there's the woo-woo part. And then on the practical level, kind of middle woo-woo, but that's more normal, is setting goals. If you don't know where you want to go, how are you going to know what roads to take and what to do?
Absolutely.
So picturing both in numbers, like 1 year, 3 year, 5 year goals, and visualizing, you know, how you want to run your business, who your clients are, what your sales are, how many clients you want, all of that, getting that really nailed down. I don't know if it's magic. I don't know if it's just a normal thing where now we know what to look for. You know, I don't know if little angels are putting things in our path. But what seems to happen is that unfolds. Goal setting. I know in a practical sense, when I write down some specific things, then I know what I'm going for. And that keeps, like, I'm a person who's always thinking up new things. And there's a test called the Kolbe test, Kolbe. And it's about our MO, our modus operandi, how we get things done. And what the material says is I need to make a to-don't list, not just a to-do list. Yeah, that's a great idea. Oh. Maybe I'll get to that later.
And you know, and that actually, that even brings up a good point of when you're setting goals, and when you have those goals, they help steer you away from opportunities that you have no business taking.
Right.
You know, I see so many photographers, and again, I've done this, where we don't have goals. We're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. And I know years ago when I started, I didn't know how much money I was making or how much money I needed to make. I had no goal except to survive,
right,
to pay bills, which is certainly not enough of a goal. And so when I had other side opportunities that come in that don't fit at all with what I like to do, I would take it, not realizing it, and end up unhappier than ever. Then I have to get myself back on course. So all that to say, we should absolutely have goals. Absolutely.
Yes. And I really believe in specializing, and I think that's part of the attracting is when I was a wedding photographer, I told the world I was a wedding photographer. I took wedding photography classes. I dreamed about it. I was marinated in it, and so people knew who I was and how to refer me. If I was a wedding and portrait and headshots and, forensics and all of that, then you're kind of gray. It's a gray, mushy scene in people's minds.
It is.
And then when I realized I was approaching burnout, I needed to get this children's business going so that I could eventually have enough steady income to quit weddings. Then I changed all my marketing. I changed my photography. I changed my elevator speech. And then I love that at a certain point, one of my mentors in children's photography said, "Oh my gosh, you're becoming really known as one of the best children's photographers in California." And that was so gratifying. Not, yes, it's good to hear that someone's saying you're the best. There's that part, sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that
Doesn't
she
hurt.
thought of me as a children's photographer and that I was creating a name for myself in my niche. Because when you have several things, you've got different businesses because you've got to find different alliances. You have to take time for so many things that it's hard to master the one thing.
That's a great point, right? Or even how you talk to different types of clients. Your language changes if you're talking to a wedding client versus a corporate headshot client.
Right,
Or it's a different
right.
process, even getting them the images
Yes,
or prints. So.
and that all takes time and effort and talent and creativity. And so, that old term, jack of all trades, master of none,
It's
that
true.
people I've seen, and if you think about the superstars in our industry, how many of them do everything?
Right.
Probably none.
Very few. Yeah.
You know what Sue Bryce does. You know what Ann Geddes does. You know what Hurley, Peter Hurley.
That's so funny. I was thinking of him too. Yeah.
Yeah. My headshot is a Peter Hurley style because
Okay.
someone took his class and bought all the gear and we had a little workshop
So
and she
cool.
photographed and I have a group of women photographers that we've been meeting 30 some years. And so yeah, that's why my headshot looks kind of Peter Hurley-ish.
Awesome.
Anyway, yes, specializing. Oh, I love talking to you.
Isn't this cool? And I see we already have a lengthy interview going on.
Yeah,
And
well,
we probably could talk about this for hours, actually. It's
definitely.
but I think we should wrap it up
Yep.
and let's summarize. Can you briefly, in like 30 seconds or less, summarize the 5 points or give their main heading titles.
The secrets to selling 3 to 8 wall portraits and albums each and every time. That's part one. And how to develop confidence, standing out in a crowd, business as a personal growth journey, and how to use the power of attraction to grow our success in business.
Perfect. And thank you. I hope our listeners took a lot of notes. I want to make sure people know where to find you online, and then I'm going to ask you about a special offer that you have for our
Yeah,
listeners.
all
So,
right.
first, give us your website. Where can folks find you?
So LucyDumasCoaching.com, and it's Lucy with an I. And there's a little special, you can download my ebook, 10 Big Ideas for Marketing in the Real World. If you want to see my personal, my photography gallery, it's LucyDumas.com. And then I have a private group I'd love to invite you to. It's Insight Training for Photographers. And then I have a page that's Lucy Dumas Insight Training for Photographers. And
Perfect.
I'm sure, and my phone number, love phone calls, 619-233-9390. and email lucy@lucydumas.com. So all of that.
Laying it all out there. I love it.
Rewind and write it down. But I think
Love
Shamira is
it.
going to post those.
Yeah, they'll be in the show notes as well.
So my offer, every
Yes.
month I offer 5 totally free strategy coaching calls to help you get your vision, to help you see what might be standing in your way of your success. And these are offered for people who might be ready for coaching. So if you'd like to apply, I would love to do this for you. It's a $500 value and it's totally my gift to you. And just contact me, message me on Facebook. You can call me, you can email me, and I would love, love, love to get to know you better and help you in your growth.
Is there one way that you prefer they contact you?
I kind of check it all. Facebook
Okay.
messaging, I tend to be on there a lot.
Okay.
And the email, especially if you make it, sorry, stand out in some way. Like, yes, Lucy, how can I apply? Or some heading.
Yeah, how about you give us a specific subject line they should use?
Yes, please. I'd love to apply for a strategy session.
Yes, please. I'd love to apply for a strategy session.
Or any version of that's fine.
Okay. Any variation thereof.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. And thank you for being willing to do this. I know we did something like this before when you were on the show, and it turned out awesome,
Thank you.
actually. It was
Yeah.
just, it was great.
Yeah, I had some wonderful conversations, and I have to say, your listeners, Shamira, are just the coolest people.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll tell you, I'm honored to be doing this and to have people who want to listen.
Yes.
Oh, well, Lucy, this has been amazing. This, talk about an info-packed episode, and it's worth every minute of it, too. And so I just want to thank you again for just chilling and chatting with us.
Chilling and chatting. I like
Chilling and chatting.
it. All right. You are very, very welcome.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.